Gracious Father, Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather together once again. I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters that are here this morning, and ask that you would open up their hearts and their minds to receive your word this morning. Lord, we do thank you that you are the very best Father ever, that there is no one like you, that you are truly good and perfect in all of your ways. And so, Father, may that be something that we can all hold on to, realizing that there is no way, shape, or form in which you're going to misstep, miscorrect, or do something out of character with your holiness. And, Father, we can take comfort in that. And so, Father, teach us this morning, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue on in our series in the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say to fathers, but also to children and mothers and people and kings and all kinds of different aspects of life that we may find ourselves in. But we, like I said at the beginning there, we all have influence. And I'd like to begin by reading an illustration from a pastor. His name was Norman Murphy. He recollects one evening he was babysitting the local bank manager's six-year-old son, Jimmy, and his eldest daughter, Elizabeth, who was 5 years old. They were the best of friends and attended Sunday school together, but this one evening they got into a little argument. I had just added a log to the fire and stoked it. As I turned to my lounging chair, I heard my daughter say, "My father was very brave and to get that close to the fire." Jimmy snapped back, "My father is braver than your father." For a few minutes, they argued the point, and Jimmy said, "Well, I know someone braver than your father." For a few minutes, they argued the point, and Jimmy said, oh, I guess it would help if I was reading the right line and not reading it over again. Elizabeth replied, "Who?" Jimmy quickly answered, "Jesus Christ, that's who." There was a long silence, and then my daughter said, "No, but he is second." At that moment, I realized the tremendous influence that a father has over his children. And so as we think about fathers and Father's Day, as we think about parents and parenting, we have to understand that we do have a tremendous influence. We are going to impact our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives in some way, shape, or form. And it may be for the good, or it could be to the negative. And the question is what kind of influence do we have? And sometimes as we take a look at children and acting and thinking like children, that is the purpose of their being parents. That is the importance of God's structure, of there being a family, of there being a husband and a wife, one man, one woman, and children coming as a result of that union together, so that they may raise those children, guide those children, and influence those children to know exactly who God is and who they are before God. And so as we think about fathers, the first thing that can be an encouragement to each and every father here, myself included, is that we see and understand the importance of fearing the Lord. If you remember back at the beginning of our time in the book of Proverbs, we read Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so it's wise for every father here this morning to make sure that you're on the right foundation. Because if you're not on the right foundation, then you're not going to have the right attitude, the right scope, the right response to things your children may do, or even your grandchildren, or if you're fortunate enough to even say your great-grandchildren may do. The thing is that if we don't start in the right place, then we're not going to have the right answers, the right knowledge, the right understanding to be able to respond to everything that the sin nature will throw out. And just because you had a particular upbringing doesn't mean that your child will have that same upbringing. Matter of fact, there's going to be all kinds of different dynamics culturally as well as you coming together as a husband and wife to raise your children. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. See, being on the right foundation also as a result, us having a sensitivity to sin in our own lives. Because how can we be a good father to our children if we are living in sin and then calling on our children to not live in sin? It's an impossibility. Does it mean that God's grace can't, you know, in a home where a father is actually participating in evil thoughts, words, or deeds, that a child can, you know, be coming to church and have other influences in their life and actually see our good father, as we sung about this morning? But the fear of the Lord also is a fountain of life. So having a fear of God, not being afraid of God, but having a reverence and awe for who he is important as we consider its effect on life. And Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. See, there's something that comes together in this dynamic of when you see God as he is, when you embrace God as he is, you know, as we even sung this morning, that you are perfect in all of your ways. And we see that, then it's going to have a direct effect on how we live our lives, whether we're fathers or mothers or sisters, brothers, cousins, whatever the case might be. It says here, though, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. So as a father, his children will have a refuge because they will see their father living as one who has someone greater than he is, someone that he can look up to, someone who it will not disappoint, who will not be one that will turn his back on him, but instead will be a refuge for him. A confidence in his presence, his wisdom, his love, his provision, and his greatness. And we see this theme repeated through Psalm 46, verse 1, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so if you're here this morning as a father, don't try and do it in your own strength. Don't do things in spite of your upbringing, or don't do things just in response to your upbringing, but instead realize that God can, through his presence, wisdom, love, provision, and greatness, show you something different that can even impact your children or your children's children in a way that glorifies God even more. So how does the fear of the Lord exhibit itself in a godly father? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, speaking of Christ, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So part of what is an exhibit of a godly father is the fact that because of Christ in him, he should die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, unfortunately, fathers do make mistakes. Fathers do misjudge situations. Sometimes fathers, you know, respond in a way that is not God-honoring. But there's also an opportunity as a godly father, because of living to righteousness and having the Spirit work in and through us, that we have an opportunity to positively impact the next generation, which is our children, or even the generation after that, or for multiple generations. And what is the outcome of living to righteousness? Proverbs 11:5 tells us that the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. So there is a benefit in actually living according to righteousness and being blameless, because it'll keep your way straight. Your focus will be solely on the God who saved you, the God who is good and perfect in all of his ways. Otherwise, there's a potential to swerve one way or another because something else comes into play. Because maybe from work, you know, and your job and what you just experienced, you bring that home with you, and all of a sudden find yourself off the path. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are living in light of that righteousness. And Proverbs 11:9 says, with his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Again, another benefit in having a knowledge of righteousness and living by that righteousness is that God will be with us and deliver us through whatever we may be facing, no matter how difficult. And Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." Well, walking in integrity means that you have moral soundness and moral uprightness. And so, again, as you see, when you're on the right foundation, when God is your guide, when God is your Lord, then there is a benefit, and it's actually a blessing to your children after you. And maybe a blessing to your children after you. Because we cannot limit what God can do. Even through one faithful man in one generation can have a ripple effect for generations to come. Sometimes it's, as we look at the biblical account, negatively, but also positively. Keith Myring in the Discipleship Journal said this. It says, "One startling bit of research conducted by the Christian Businessmen's Committee found the following. When the father is an active believer, there is about a 75% likelihood that his children will also become active believers. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. And I think that's a reflection on what happens when God's design for marriage and family is broken apart. Now, it doesn't mean that God can't work in, you know, miraculous ways, because again, there is still a percentage there. And I'm not going to put God into a box. But there is blessing when there is a father and a mother in the home. And it is, even statistically, as they look at it, something that is a benefit. And so be involved with your children. Be an active believer. Be an example, because your children will be blessed as a result. So fear the Lord is the first thing. Second is be a godly father to your children. So what does that look like, to be a godly father to your children? Well, the first thing as we take a look at the book of Proverbs is to teach your children what God desires. Now, in order to teach your children what God desires, you yourself must also know what God desires. So it's not just it's not in a vacuum. And so you, as a father, need to know what God desires. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Well, what way are you training him to go? Well, that's in the path of wisdom. That is in the path that you fear the Lord. You know who God is, and the fact that he is creator of all things and savior. That word train in Hebrew means actually to dedicate. So to actually make a commitment to raising your children in such a way where you yourself first, not always in perfection, but seeking to put God first in your life, will have an effect on your children as they watch you trust God. Because again, you influence, and children are very perceptive, and they will pick up the worst traits in us, but they can also emulate the best traits in us, particularly those that end up glorifying God. So what does that look like? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 gives us a really good example of what it means to train up or to dedicate our children the way they should go. Verses 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." So notice that the words that God commands should be on your heart first. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins, because again, we all influence. Verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." See, what this is teaching us is that God should always be in front of us. blazing the way. We're keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that our kids can see that God means something, that God is not imaginary, that God is not fictitious, that God is the one true God, who has commanded us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And notice it says, I command you today. So this is not optional. And the truth has been shared with you, so every father here, if you've not been living by the truth of the word of God, guess what? You're without excuse today. And that is true of each and every one of us, generation to generation. What does it look like to write on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates? I think Joshua is a good example. In Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, he says, Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, that is a father of conviction, of one who realizes the importance of not being wishy-washy, not being one moment hot, one moment cold, or looking back and saying, well, you know, life was so much easier when, but instead is trusting and looking forward and setting an example for not only himself in serving the Lord, but also for his children, his wife, his family, and whoever else that might be able to see them as an individual. And so writing it on your doorpost of your house and on your gates is for everyone outside of your house to know. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So teach your children what God desires. Second, lead your children in the paths of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 12 says, Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of righteousness. When you walk, when you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Notice, I have taught you the way of wisdom, but I have led you in the paths of righteousness. You can teach your children the right thing to do and not do it yourself. But if you're leading your children, taking them by the hand, you're saying that I'm going with you because this is important not only for you, but also for me. You know, this is not do as I say and not as I do, which, you know, we may have used that at some point because your kids catch you not being consistent in what you say. And so it's important for us to lead our children in the paths of righteousness, not just teach them that, but we ourselves on that same path of righteousness, taking our kids by the hand and bringing them along with us. Third, lovingly discipline your children. And we automatically think of discipline. We always think in the negative. And as you think about discipline, it should never be done in anger. Proverbs 13:24 says, Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be wary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. See, the goal of reproof is obedience. For our children, by our example, to see that it's important for us to obey and do what God commands. To never discipline in anger, to not discipline in response, or I should say reaction to a situation, but realize that, as it says in Psalm 51:4, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgments. See, the thing is that we teach our children, as we model this to our children, is that our sin is always against God first. And for them to see that when they do disobey, that they are you know, in reality, disobeying God first. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." See, the goal isn't just for an outlet to somehow raise our children to not be like us. But like I said, if you're on the path of righteousness with them, when you make a mistake, then you apologize to them. You confess your sin to God, and you admit that you're wrong. And I've had to do that with my children on occasion because I let my anger get the best of me. But the thing is that we should always realize that even in discipline, you know, we're doing it for the purpose of that peaceful fruit of righteousness to come forth. The result of it, actually, as it says, bringing delight, as it said there in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And that is a delight to God that his children are being obedient to him. Fourth, which is coupled together with what we just talked about in lovingly disciplining your children, you also encourage your children to walk in a manner worthy of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." See, so not only is the discipline there to correct what is wrong, but there also needs to be coupled with that the encouragement to lead our children so that they see the importance of walking in a manner worthy of God. Fifth, guard your words. Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." Words can either build up, reinforce, encourage, or tear down, break apart, minimize, and make our children feel small and insignificant. So that's why it's important for us as fathers, as being that godly example to them, that we put away any type of speech that is crooked in any way, crass in any way, devious in any way, but also that which is not for their betterment. And sixth, Proverbs 17:6 tells us that grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Notice the generational impact here in this psalm, or this proverb, Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers." And so, fathers, ask yourself the question, what am I imparting to my children? Am I giving them something to step back and respect and to honor because they see their father living in light of who he is before God? Or do they see something different? Because the thing is, we all have influence. And particularly fathers, because it says the glory of children is their fathers. Because you have an example to set as the one who is the leader, the authority figure that God has designed within that family unit. The thing is when we do it right, when we actually give our children something to glory in their fathers, which really should not be just to puff up their father, but for that glory to really go through and around their father so they see the Lord Jesus Christ instead. But there are blessings of being a godly father. Proverbs 23:22 and following says this, as the father is giving instruction to his children, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it, buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." So to every father, mother, as well as children that are here this morning, or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, As you see yourself, realize that there is an opportunity not only to honor God, but to bring joy and gladness to the family unit. So that the father ends up rejoicing in his wise son or daughter, and that the father and mother can both be glad together and enjoy the fruit and the benefits of, you know, living their lives in light of who they are before God as an example to their children and to their children's children. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." And last, outside of the book of Proverbs as a blessing, is 3 John verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." See, the thing is when we do it God's way, when we realize who we are in Christ Jesus as joint heirs with Christ, that as we await his return and sing about our love for him, that when we model a godly existence and have our children grow up in that atmosphere, there are positive aspects to it. It's not a guarantee, but there is a blessing in being obedient yourself and then leaving the rest to God. But do not, you know, cease to be that example and to be able to step back and say that you have joy in knowing that your children are walking in the truth. So how should this inform our lives today as we kind of wrap all this together? Let me share one last illustration. This is another one from a pastor, Jerry Steen. It says, "At the first church I had pastored, I had the job of mixing feed to supplement my income. For a period of about 2 weeks, each day I came home from work, my two boys, ages 2 and 3, would look at me, smile, and would say, 'Boy, Dad, you sure are dusty.' I would reply, 'Yes, I sure am dusty.' Then I would go and get cleaned up. I didn't think too much of it until I was washing my car and saw my oldest son doing something very strange. He was picking up gravel and stones that were in the drive and rubbing them on his pants. I asked him, 'What are you doing?' He replied, 'I want to be dusty like you, Dad.' He says, 'Then I realized that if a child would look up to his father for being dusty and want to copy his father, a child could look up to his father and follow him for anything. What are you passing on to your son or daughter or children?'" See, the thing is, you have an influence, you have an impact, and what a privilege it is to be a godly father, giving glory to the Lord God Almighty and living in light of who you are as a son of God, to be a witness, an influence for the next generation, to raise up more godly men and women for the glory of God. And that's the point of this wisdom for fathers, for mothers, for family, is that we all have the opportunity to do this before the Lord.